Hi, and welcome back to the Insights podcast series from Axel. I'm your host, Anand Daniel. Today, it's a different kind of podcast. As all of you know, we are going through a rough time across the globe with the COVID-19 situation. So wanted to chat with a few of the founders as well as HR heads in some of the larger organizations in the startup ecosystem in India on how they are dealing with this tough situation, where the best thing that we can do as a country and as a startup ecosystem at this time is social distancing. That's the only way to prevent the spread of this disease within India. I'm going to welcome the four panelists. We'll start with Vivek from Bounce. Vivek, why don't you give a quick introduction of your company and then we'll go on to the other panelists.
Sure, Anand. Thanks for doing this. I think this will definitely help everyone in the ecosystem. So I'm the CEO and co-founder of Bounce. Bounce is a two-wheeler scooter sharing solution. We are primarily operating in Bangalore and Hyderabad. And the solution is pretty simple. You can pick up a scooter anywhere and drop it anywhere. So that's what we do at Bounce.
Got it. Abhiraj?
Anand, thank you so much for inviting me. Anand, I am the founder and CEO of a company called Urban Company. We are a managed marketplace for all kinds of home services, from beauty services at home to cleaning, painting, plumbing, etc. The core promise being that the entire service is a standardized, hygienic and controlled service that we offer through our platform.
Got it. We also have two more panelists joining us shortly. So I want to get started with Vivek and Abhiraj at this time, and then we'll introduce the other two panelists shortly. So Vivek, maybe talk to us about what are the business continuity measures that you're taking at Bounce, because yours is a very diverse operation.
Like you said, our biggest challenge is that we have a physical asset on the ground. And this physical asset doesn't have a driver, which makes it much more tougher for us to make sure that it is up and about. And with the given scenario where if most of the cities are being locked down, what would essentially happen is that there would be no demand for the scooters, which gives us two sets of problems. We have to now overnight come up with capabilities to move these vehicles to a safe location so that they're not vandalized and they're not lying on the roads. Second challenge also for us is how do we tell consumers, our users, about the threat around COVID? What we have understood is the understanding of this virus is very, it starts from people don't respect this. They think it's a hype, to someone taking it very seriously. In this scenario, how do we communicate this effectively on the app? If at all people have to use this, we still believe that Bounce is one of the safest options for users to use if they don't have their own vehicle. In this situation, how do we tell them what are the things that they have to do post riding a vehicle is something that we're doing on communication. At a macro level, what we're doing is we're dividing our business continuity plan into two aspects. One, planning for next 90 days, what all possible situations can happen. And post 90 days, if things start recovering, what are the things that we have to do? And also, what we are making sure now is that this 90 days, in a way, is that there will be no pressure on demand side and vehicle being utilized. How can we make use of this time to build capabilities which can possibly help us post 90 days? And we are also building few capabilities to make sure that can people keep the vehicle with them for X number of days, because they probably would not want to share. And it's very important to get whatever cash we can get from giving the vehicle out there. So these are a few things that we are doing in terms of plan for next 90 days and thereafter. Nobody knows when this thing should settle down. So we are thinking and we are being ready for worst case scenario for 90 days, which would mean that possibly the demand goes down by about 60-70%.
Got it. Suman, welcome to the podcast. Can you give a quick introduction of Freshworks, please?
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Freshworks, we are a SaaS company. We are headquartered in US and in India. And we have offices around 13 countries and customers around 130 plus countries. What we do is we provide all our customers with software that allows them to engage with their customers and provide 360-degree view of their customers, which includes right from how they acquire customers, how they manage their relationship, and how they support their customers. So we're a 10-year-old company, and we're growing at a blistering pace. And we have over 3,000 plus associates today around the world.
Thank you, Suman. That's very helpful. So we're chatting about initially the business continuity plans. So Abhiraj, maybe over to you. Can you talk about some of the steps you've taken in your business line, please?
Sure, Anand. So Anand, I think upfront, before I talk about the steps we've taken, I think one of the things to recognize is that these are tough and unprecedented times. But something about us as human beings, you know, we have the ability to hunker down in tough times and fight back. And the phrase that I've been using internally is that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think it's important to call that out for all CEOs within their companies. What we have done at Urban Company is we have identified three priorities for our business. The highest priority is the health and safety of our 1,300 full-time employees. So we've moved to work from home almost a week back. We have started to individually counsel all of these 1,300 team members. So we formed a leadership team of about 50 people who've individually called each and every one of the 1,300 full-time employees, spoken to them about health and safety, spoken to them about the need for social distancing and self-quarantining, and various other hygiene practices that they should maintain. There are certain situations in which select employees are unwell. We've set up an HR help desk to track and help out these employees. And if they need to be tested for COVID-19, we are facilitating that entire process as well. And in certain rare cases, employees need to travel, and we are facilitating that as well. So I think the highest priority is the health and safety of the 1,300 full-time employees. Equally important is the health and safety of our 30,000 service partners. So we have 30,000 service partners who are on the field working and going to homes delivering services. So the first thing we've done is we've partnered with Marsh and McKellen and rolled out a COVID-19 health insurance and income protection plan for all of these service partners. So that covers for hospitalization up to 25,000 and income protection up to 14,000. This is rolled out to every single service professional on the platform, and this is over and above all the existing insurances. We've also launched into training our service partners on how to maintain hygiene, the right technique for washing their hands, using masks, sanitizers, etc. We are now procuring masks and sanitizers and distributing them at a war footing. And we've started to counsel them to tell us if they are facing any health issues. We've set up a dedicated help desk for them as well. And the third piece is ensuring business continuity, wherein we've set up a leadership response team that is headed by me. This team is meeting over Zoom every day to assess the situation closely and take adequate steps. Each of the functional leaders in the team have put in place their business continuity plans. This includes creating org redundancies, ensuring that there are revised decision matrices, and new governance frameworks that have been aligned, which might be required to operate for an extended period of time. We've also now started to put in place, various impact scenarios and plan for three different scenarios for our annual operating plan of FY21. In India, we follow April to March financial year planning. So we've put in place three impact scenarios, factoring in how this outbreak could pan out and what does that mean internally for the company. So at the highest level, that's what we are doing, focusing on the health and safety of all our full-time employees, the health and safety of our service partners, which ensures that our customer safety is maintained, and putting in place robust short to medium-term plans, as well as reassessing our annual operating plan.
That's super helpful. We'll dig into some of these as we go along with the podcast. Suman, maybe talk to us about what are the steps you're taking at Freshworks, please.
Yeah, we have similar mechanisms like what Abhiraj highlighted. The first thing that we did as well was to ensure the safety of all our employees and ensure that all our offices remained safe for as long as we were working. And across the world, we were monitoring every location to see when do we trigger a mandatory work from home. So we've been in this mode for at least about 2 or 3 weeks around the world. And as soon as we saw even the slightest risk, we tried to ensure that we encourage people to practice social distancing. And so we enabled all of them to work from home. That required us to be a little bit more thoughtful about our IT preparedness to make sure that everybody has access, everybody has all the connectivity tools that they need to be productive. So, for instance, in some places where employees are in places where they don't have good connectivity, we've provided them with Wi-Fi dongles and everything for them to continue to be productive. And ours is a business where it is possible for people to operate remote. While it takes a little bit longer for people to get used to it, we've really encouraged people to practice that, not put themselves or their family members at risk. And so we've enabled all of them to go remote. And so that's the first thing we did. The second thing we did was to make sure that as an organization, we had all the mechanisms to continue with business as usual with everybody going remote, which required that we really relooked at the way we make decisions, the way we collaborate, the way we look at rapid reporting cycles in this scenario. And so our business continuity team came up with these plans a couple of weeks before we triggered the work from home. So now pretty much all our employees around the world work from home, and we are online at our respective times using our Slack channels, our email, Zoom, everything. And every interaction, whether it is with clients, whether it is with prospective employees that we are interviewing, everything we have managed to take it online. So that way we've tried to make sure that we contain it as much as possible and our employees are safe and are not at risk of contracting. What we also have is an online channel for people to be online and provide response very rapidly, so that right from if you have a connectivity issue to if you have a customer query you're trying to resolve, there's somebody online always to be able to help you with that. So that was the first. The second that we went really deep into in terms of preparedness is with our customers. We serve customers around the world in terms of their customer engagement software. So these are extraordinary times where our customers are finding it challenging to be able to respond to their customers. So we want to make sure that we are available and flexible in every way to be able to support them in order to be able to respond to their customers. So we also receive all kinds of queries in terms of how we can help with our product functionality for them. And so we're prepared and we are ready and we're helping customers around the world in every possible way to be able to respond quickly to their customers as well. Also, we have a large part of our customers who are impacted by this. And so we want to be respectful and we want to make sure that we're also helping them cope with this. So we're working with them in trying to understand what is the impact and how we can partner with them in helping their business come back up.
Got it. Thank you, Suman. That's very helpful. Maybe one question, and any of you can take this. So there are companies trying to do alternate day work from homes or alternate weeks. I'm sure you have all thought through this. Why did you decide to go all work from home? Any of you that want to respond to this?
I could take a shot at that, Daniel.
Sure.
I have spoken to companies that do alternate work from homes. Now, each company has a different need in terms of how they serve their customers. And for some, it is really critical for people to be there in office for some of the work that you cannot take remote. Right? We're fortunate to be in a business at Freshworks where we can work from remote and still be productive. But there are a number of businesses which can't do that. And so when they think about how they limit presence in the office, I think it is a good alternative to think about how they can have people coming in rotation so that even if there is a unfortunate incident of somebody having the disease, you still have a cohort that is not impacted. So I still see it's a creative solution for companies that really require some kind of presence on site. But I think we're all learning and inventing on the fly as we deal with the situation.
Agreed. Vivek, Abhiraj?
Anand, I think because of the nature of this disease itself, I don't know if work alternate days will help because the incubation period in this is so high, as until 14 days or show no symptoms, which means that you can't respond. It's not like Ebola where you're sick and you can't come out, which means that the probability that this would work will immediately fail the second there's an infected person who comes to the same workplace. Because he's going to infect the whole office. And I don't know if really sanitation methods of in terms of making sure that you sanitize the place would really work. And probably we are deferring the spread by 2 days and hoping that we get to know this as soon as the infected person gets infected, we are aware of it. So I don't know how it is really going to help. And I think this is only from company's point of view, the alternate day working. I don't know how actually it would help in this particular virus that we're talking about. Abhi, you want to take a shot at this?
I think the only thing I'll add is, I was listening to a podcast by Avnish Bajaj from Matrix, and he put it well. He said, sometimes the proportionate response to an unprecedented situation is a disproportionate response. I think this is an unprecedented situation, which is unlikely to... I mean, this is probably, hopefully, a situation that we won't hopefully encounter again in our lifetime. I hope not. And I think it's important to respond to the situation with maximum precaution and maximum fervor. And I feel right now, if there is a possibility for organizations to work from home, they should prioritize the safety of their team members over and above business. Now, that said, I think all of us are also seeing this 1 week at a time. We may realize in 2 to 3 or 4 weeks that this is a long-term battle. And this is not about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. That, there is a scenario where we have to live with this disease for some time. And therefore, I think one thing I would like to call out is, while in the short term, many of us will be working from home for 2, 3, or 4 weeks, it's also important to start thinking about how do we move into a new normal where we have to, let's say if we had to live with this disease for 6 months, how do we plan for that scenario? Do we continue to work from home for 6 months or is there something else? And I think for select organizations, as Suman pointed out, the leadership has to come up with innovative ways to minimize the risk.
Got it.
While ensuring
and I think you guys have all weighed the pros and cons. There's going to be a loss of business by doing this, but you feel doing it right now and trying to prevent and contain it and keep it in stage 2 and take it down is the right way forward. And that's why you've taken this extreme measure of working from home. So I appreciate that. And hopefully audience listening also take this seriously and we make a sincere effort towards that. So going back to the business continuity question, any thoughts on how or how did you go about communicating this to your customers, to your it could be the end consumer or it could be organization in the case of Freshworks. So how did you send out an email? What's the any best practices there?
I think when we moved to work from home, our customers did not see the impact of it. We were still available. We were still contactable. We were still talking to them, resolving their issues, everything. But we wanted to make sure that they were aware of our business continuity plans and the fact that we are ready to support them 24/7, because this is a time when they need customer engagement software more than ever. So we have published our business continuity plans on our website, and we have sent out messages to all our customers, letting them know that we are open and we are available if they need our support in any which way.
So we have Girish joining us. He's the head of HR at Swiggy. So Girish, thanks for joining. We'd love to hear your perspective on how you're communicating this to your customers, as well as how you're dealing with so many delivery boys. Maybe you can talk to us about scale, the number of delivery executives you have, and how are you dealing, how are you educating them on the business continuity side and health side as well?
Sure. So, Anand, I just put a simple acronym and I'm calling it DANGER. And these are the various phases that I've seen multiple parts of businesses go through. And when I speak to the leaders from the industry as well, I see every organization going through different phases of this danger. The D stands for denial, A stands for acceptance, N stands for no action, G stands for get started or get going, then there's E for extreme panic, and then R for regularize. Right. So these are the six phases I'm distinctly seeing organizations go through, and leaders are in certain pockets in a denial that this is not going to impact. From the time they move from denial to acceptance, then the acceptance to no action is still there. There are many people who say, okay, COVID is happening, but we don't know what action to take, so there is no action. And then from no action, there's a movement to let's get started now. But rapidly, the situation is getting into extreme panic, and it's taking some effort and loss of time to get into regularize. So each of these phases are very critical to identify, and if we can short circuit one or two of these stages, we can quickly get into the regularize mode. And that's something which I would urge everyone to watch out for. Where are the pockets of denial? Once accepted, can we really move from acceptance to getting going instead of no action? And there are multiple examples which has happened even within my organization from this perspective. So I just thought I should share this different phases which organizations can go through, and that the HR leaders should be aware of the various phases and how to navigate through these times. The essence is to move and to act and not to really waste time in each of these phases, because the more we wait for action or inaction is only going to lead to greater damage. And that's something that I wanted to start with.
That's very helpful.
Coming to your question on how are we communicating to partners, customers, and employees, right? So we have a large scale, and we have 2 lakh plus delivery executives on our platform. And that's like a logistic nightmare, you can imagine, in a situation like this. And we have restaurant partners, and we have almost 10,000 odd employees, right, and the consumers. So each one of this needed to be addressed appropriately. I'm sure you have spoken about the BCP plan. So basically, we have 2 task force. One is the large COVID task force, which has representation from across the organization, which is primarily looking at quick actioning and employee first perspective. And then there's another task force, which is primarily looking at any product interventions that we need to do, because we are a app-based organization, and whatever we do will be most effective if we do our app, especially for the partners, restaurants, and the consumers. So there's another small team which is working on product enhancements, etc., which will have some engineering efforts and slow thinking to happen even in this kind of situation, right? So there are two distinct task forces which is working. I'm a part of both. I lead one. I lead the larger pod, and I have folks representing both the pods, and we kind of become conduit between the product enhancement and the quick actioning that we need to take from employee first perspective and hold the organization true to the situation. So that's the way we've organized from a BCP perspective. Now jumping into your question, from a consumer point of view, we've already proactively reached out to all our consumers via personalized email and explained to them the steps that we have taken to deal with the COVID situation, including not limiting to the things that we've done from delivery executives' point of view, which is masks, which is the whole ensuring that the safety of delivery executives taken care, the sanitization that we do on a daily basis, the attendance check, the thermal guns that we've installed in various offices that we are present. All of this has been communicated to the consumers. We've also asked the consumers to be true to the situation and not panic, and we're here to serve them. And to serve them better with minimal risk of contraction, we've also launched what's called the contactless delivery last week. It was a solve that we did where they could call the delivery executive directly and ask them to drop the food outside of their house door and really not have a contact while the delivery happens. That feature is also getting added to the product as we speak, and that will be available for the consumer at the product stage itself, at the app itself. Now they can discover that option, right? So that's something that we've done with the consumer. So the step we've taken is mails, constant communication, and ensuring that there is enough steps we take to alleviate the fear that the consumers might have at this point in time while still being serviceable, because food, as we know, is essential and people are ordering in.
Got it. Thanks, Girish. That's super helpful. So now switching gears, let's talk about some of the challenges now that you've tried it for a few days to a week or plus. So what are some of the major challenges that your organization faced in rolling out this BCP plans? Maybe you'll start with Abhiraj.
So I think the first challenge in rolling out the BCP plan is that you're rolling it out while everybody is working from home. So you do not have the luxury, or at least in our case, we did not have the luxury of bringing everybody into a room, letting them know about it, and then doing a dry run. Last week, when we decided to work from home, we felt that we should not delay any further the decision to work from home. And therein, I think the biggest challenge becomes communication. How do you communicate? How do you prepare the revised plans? But then how do you communicate that to the rest of the organization? We have erred on the side of continuous and over communication, starting from myself. In the last 1 week, I have held town halls with different teams, probably six or seven town halls, including two org-wide town halls. I have personally spoken to close to 100 of the 1,300 team members that we have. I have set up a daily stand-up for the response team, the COVID-19 response team. So communication, I think, is critical. And that is the same methodology that the rest of the leaders are following. They are over-communicating. They are ensuring that everybody is appraised of the business continuity plans and everybody is aware of what needs to be done. I think the second important thing is not to create panic and to continue to be clinical and thoughtful in the way one is going about things. So in the communication, team members sense the softer cues. They pick up a lot of things. They will pick up from your tonality. They will pick up from your confidence. They will pick up from, a little bit of humor that you might add to the communication. At the same time, they will also appreciate if you're not downplaying or underplaying the scenario. If you are thoughtful and the communication is reflecting your judgment. So I think very, very important not to panic anybody. Very important to clinically present the things as they are. Tell them that, look, this is how we are thinking about it. This is what we see. As more data and more information comes to us, we might reassess the plans. In a nutshell, we are hoping for the best, but we are preparing for the worst. So I think those, two I would put at the highest level to ensure that your business continuity plans are, working well. There has to be continuous communication. And there has to be, certain clinical, thoughtful manner of going about things. The rest of the things we've spoken about, which is, revised governance, revised decision matrices, etc.
Yeah. So continuing on the challenges portion, any of you faced any specific issues, maybe IT things or anything related to productivity that you want to talk about? Some things that people can anticipate as they move to this BCP portion of working from home and other things.
Yeah, Anand, so I think it's, like I mentioned earlier, it's very important to move fast. And also, while we do fast thinking, important to see what things can break and keep fixing and helping people there. So the leadership buy-in is important. I would agree with Abhiraj. Like I mentioned, the BCP pod I lead and the product pod Harsha leads. The buy-in from leadership becomes very important. From a BCP perspective, two, three things, right? Again, going back to basics, there's a mindset challenge, there's a tool set challenge, and a skill set challenge that we are facing from a BCP perspective. The mindset challenge is certain things can't be done from work from home, right? And we briefly spoke last time we engaged that people were kind of delaying meetings, saying, okay, let's wait for this to happen face to face. And we were able to test this because we went work from home 2 weeks back, pretty early. 70% of the organization was working from home, and now we've almost moved 100% work from home in many offices. So we can see that there is a mindset gap in terms of, okay, certain things can't be done on call, and we really want to change that. So we've created a remote ways of working, which captures both the mindset and the tool set. In fact, mindset, tool set, and the skill set issues. So mindset largely has to be crossed by the leaders helping and engaging constantly with their one downs and their teams down, and having conversations around, let's start moving on the deliverables. So it's very important to take an output outcome based view than what are the challenges that we are facing today kind of view. And that will shift people to move forward. That's from a mindset perspective. Tool set, like you rightly said, Anand, it's very important to check all the IT dependencies that we have. When we went work from home 2 weeks back, we figured out that a few hundreds of people didn't have access to work from remote. So those were things that we fixed around 10 days back, whether it's Wi-Fi connection, whether it's dongle. We introduced a new policy where we said, okay, use your mobile phone and get reimbursed for that for cases where we can decentralize and move fast. We had to procure around 750-800 odd laptops to ensure that the call center, which is the most challenging part of the business, and I've got calls from many people that what are we doing in the call center. We've in fact moved call center remote as of today, where we've procured 800 odd laptops and used multiple of our partners to route the calls. So the tool set, including not limited to the IT hardware, also things like your G Suite, your Confluence, your Slack. If there's any other tool that you have to kind of mobilize this across the organization. We've had tech glitches today as we speak. So I think it's very important to have the IT remote team as well active and helping people. So we've sent a step-by-step procedure on how to connect remotely as a document. And also the IT team is on standby on 24/7 mode. That's on the tool set. Skill set, largely we figured out that, we rely a lot on networking and actually looking at body language of people, which is kind of missing with the meetings. Also, the time management is becoming critical. So working on putting a document on how to run meetings remotely, which includes being verbally much more articulate than one would have had a choice to in a face-to-face meeting. And also ensuring that we're able to be sharp and to the point and start and end the meetings and be sure that we are inclusive in the meetings as well. So those are the skill sets that we are trying to build as we move on from just being effective as an organization.
So maybe on one other thing on challenges, how do you keep the productivity of your employees up? Any tips on what you're doing, regular check-ins and things like that? Maybe Vivek or Suman, one of you can respond to that.
I can chime in. What we did was, it is a new normal, right? And everybody is trying to get used to the new normal of how things are going to work and how managers are going to manage their teams. So we try to put together, you know, little helpful documents and webinars for managers on how do you make sure that the work doesn't stop. And so we've tried to instill some discipline to say that, hey, you know, make sure that all of you check in at X time every day so you know that everybody's online. Do a daily stand-up so that, you know, you get a view on where things are, what's there for the day, what's in the funnel, what's in the pipeline. And then during the day, all of you can be online in a Slack channel and interacting over, you know, whether you need help with an approval or a pre-sales or whatever. And then kind of do an end of the day, what's outstanding kind of a meeting. So we've tried to help managers with little tools and little tips to do that. We've done a number of webinars with people who have worked remote for over 7 years with us on how do they manage their time. Because, you know, when you work from home, it can typically become very fungible in terms of, you know, you either spend all your time at your desk or you have multiple distractions. So how do you deal with that? We've had some really good input from people who've worked with Freshworks for over 7 years being remote. And so they've shared their experience on how do you continue to stay productive? How do you organize your day? How do you organize your space? All of that. So we're trying to help people adapt to it by providing a lot more information, tips, etc. And we find that it takes a couple of days for people to get adjusted, or maybe sometimes even more than a week. But everyone's kind of falling into a rhythm and a pattern in terms of how they organize it. We've also been very open in acknowledging the fact that, you know, you are going to have a situation where both sets of parents are at home, kids are at home because schools are closed. It is a fact, right? So let's not call them distractions, but let's try and see how we can enjoy having more time with the family and making sure that we're able to carve time and be productive as well. Because we hear a lot of people say that, hey, it's very distracting. My kids are running around in the background. It's true. It's going to happen, right? I think kids are going to be extremely delighted that they get to be at home and both parents are at home. It's a wonderful opportunity for them. So we've actually been a lot more, open in acknowledging that and telling our folks that, hey, enjoy this phase with your family, acknowledge that, but make sure that, you know, you're also thinking about how you spend time with them and how you spend time at work as well.
That's very helpful. Thanks, Suman. So, Abhiraj and Vivek, as founders, I'm sure you have business targets to hit and you have plans that you've shared with the board, right? So, how are you thinking about this phase? Abhiraj, you touched upon planning for different financial scenarios. So, any advice on what founders should be thinking at this time regarding their business plan?
Anand, what we have been doing is looking at every line item on why we were spending this and is the spend really required. So for instance, now during this time, if the demand is not going to be there, what should be our take on marketing? What should be our take on a lot of things given that external factors have changed? We've also been making sure that whatever we could do in terms of upfront sale, for instance, in Bounce, it always used to be take a ride and pay for it. We started building certain things and testing out in terms of selling rides in bulk. Because people, generally what we've seen, people are hopeful and they don't know how long it will last. So when we make packs for about 30 days or 60 days kind of thing at good discounts, people are buying it. So what we are doing, whatever is possible to get upfront cash from consumers. At the same time, we're trying to see if our expenses can be trimmed down, keeping in mind the external factors. And a bunch of new initiatives that we wanted to do, we have scaled it down. A lot of the initiatives had human in mind, so we have scaled that down. The idea is to stay put, pass through this phase. Like Abhiraj said, this is a tough time. We just have to make sure that we pass through this phase. And the biggest uncertainty is that we don't know how long it is going to last and what will be the severity of it. So we are just making sure that we should stay alive as a company and also focus on fundamentals. Even if the scale comes down, can it be much more stronger? Can the company be much more healthier is what we have been focusing on.
Thank you. Abhiraj, what are the planning you've been doing, please?
You know, in our case, and actually let me speak a little more broadly, because I think many companies will be at different levels of scale and different kind of runways. And what might be relevant to one company might not apply to all companies. I think the first and foremost that every entrepreneur has to think about is while doing the right thing by all his stakeholders, his or her business should survive. That is paramount and that is critical. And consequently, as Vivek mentioned, one thing that is in your control is cost. Top line is not in your control. You don't know how it's going to shape up. You don't know how long this is going to be, how much it's going to impact your business. But costs are in your control. So depending upon how you see the top line shaping up over the next few months, I think it is important to realign the cost base of the company today. And I want to stress on, you know, the next few months and quarters, because I realized this in my own thinking, as I was thinking about, Urban Company's cost base, that if you think this is going to be 1, 2, or 3 months, then some of the important cost realignments and cost cuts that are needed, you won't do, because you'll think that, hey, things will come back to normal in a couple of months. And therefore, you know, this is just a cost that I'm bearing for 2 months. But if you sort of draw it out and start planning for a scenario where, this might be a longer term, impact to your business, then you might be willing to take some of the harder decisions sooner. So, in a nutshell, I think make sure that whatever it takes, the business survives. This is a storm and in all storms, one has to just hunker down and let the storm pass through. Plan for the worst, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, but plan and prepare for the worst. And continuously realign your plans. One of the things I've told my teams also is that, look, we have to be very nimble. We can't be married or anchored to a scenario planning that we did a week back, because every week we get new data. That new data might be pointing to an improvement in the overall environment. That new data might be pointing to a decline in the overall environment. So we have to be very nimble in reassessing our plans. If things are improving, that should change the way we approach. And if things are declining, that should also change the way we approach.
That's great, Abhiraj. Great advice. Be nimble and prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Any other parting thoughts, Girish, Suman, Vivek? We'll start with Girish.
Yeah, I would say employee safety is imperative while, protect the business, but please keep employee safety in mind.
Thank you. Suman?
I would acknowledge both what Abhiraj and Girish have said as well. I think these are extraordinary times. We're all dealing with many unknowns. So we should focus on controlling what we can control and making sure that our employees and our customers are safe. And when this thing tides over, be prepared to come back strong. But until then, I think we should really focus on how we can minimize the impact to our employees, to our customers, to our community, and do our part in making sure that we flatten the curve.
Thank you, Suman. Vivek?
Next 2 weeks are going to be super important. So I would say that let's take a short-term hit and make sure that it is not going to scale up. The disease is not going to scale up. So let's be okay with short-term inefficiency and really take work from home seriously, so that it is not a long-term problem that we'll have to face. Other than that, let's just stay put and pass through this phase.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you taking time and sharing. Between the companies here, we have more than 10,000 employees and direct employees, probably a few hundred thousand or a couple of 100,000 plus associates who are associated with the business and millions of end customers that you're impacting. If leaders such as you have been able to take strong action in these turbulent times and planning for short, medium term, what should be different so that we come out of this crisis much stronger as an ecosystem. I'm sure the founders who are listening and the startup ecosystem that's listening can take a lot of learning from this, and hopefully they're able to apply it. Really appreciate you taking time at such short notice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you, Anand.
Thanks for joining us in this podcast. Hope that's helpful as you navigate this COVID-19 situation and come out stronger on the other side. If you have any feedback to us or to share with the rest of the startup ecosystem, please do tweet us at @Axel_India. And for more podcasts from the Insights podcast series from Axel, you can go to insightspodcast.in. Thanks for joining. And here's wishing you good health.